Welcome to all of you from your centers. Last week, we talked about the benefit of ordaining. When the mother and father allows their child to ordain in the Buddha Sasana, the Buddhist religion, then that mother and father gain great benefit from the ordination. This is because the Buddha Sasana becomes prosperous and lasts a long time. The mother and father are held to be relatives of the Sasana. Today I want to continue on this topic to talk on if we do have a child ordained in the Buddha Sasana, what can we do so that we have an even more deeper connection with the Buddha Sasana? For the connection to this Buddha Sasana to be deep in one's heart, then one needs to be a true inheritor of the Dhamma. This is because even if we are already a relative of the Buddha Sasana, but if we practice Dhamma as well, that is, we can understand and see the Dhamma, then we will become a child of the Buddha. So there are two types of relatives or inheritors. The first is Amissatayata, inheritors of material offerings. And the second is Dhammatayata, inheritors of the Dhamma, or those that have Dhamma arising in their heart. Out of these two, the Buddha praised the inheritor of the Dhamma. Why is this? Because the inheritor of Dhamma practices to become free from suffering. That is, they practice following the Noble Eightfold Path. Can you see that the inheritor of Dhamma doesn't need to ordain in the Buddha Sasana? Being a female lay disciple or male lay disciple with determination to practice following the Noble Eightfold Path, you can be a true relative of the Buddha Sasana. Like Lady Visakha, the foremost female lay disciple of the Buddha, and the wealthy merchant Anattapindika, the foremost male lay disciple of the Buddha. These two didn't ordain in the Buddha Sasana. They weren't bhikkhus or bhikkhunis, but these two were inheritors of the Dhamma. They were Aryapugala or noble beings. They were children of the Buddha. We know well the biography of Lady Visakha. At just 7 years old, her heart knew the Dhamma. This was due to being someone who had built a lot of spiritual development from the past. She knew the Dhamma, that is, she saw the Dhamma, and came to the nature of the true Dhamma. She had merit and spiritual development, and was a Panchakalyani. She had the five feminine features of beautiful hair, beautiful figure, beautiful bone structure, beautiful skin, and youthfulness. And as we know from the texts, that she had great faith in the Buddha Sasana, and she helped her husband and her husband's father attain to the level of Sotapanna, the first noble level of attainment. But with all this, she still had a lot of duties and responsibilities. She had duties to invite the Sangha to have the meal. She entrusted this responsibility to her niece, who had good mindfulness and wisdom, to handle this in her place. But later, this niece passed away, and even though Lady Visakha was a Sotapanna, she experienced sorrow and grief at her niece's passing. But the Buddha helped her to overcome her sorrow through Dhamma. The Buddha said to Lady Visakha, "Visakha, if you had 100 things you love, then you would have 100 sorrows." Lady Visakha had the mindfulness to think and reflect that passing is normal, and she could cease her sorrow and grief. Here we look at another story about the wealthy merchant Anattapindika, or previously named Sudatta, who was the foremost in laymen who offered dana. He had unshakable faith, and he was devoted in making offerings of dana regularly. In terms of laymen, there was no one equal. He had a wife named Punyalakana, and they had four children. The son was named Kala, and their three daughters were Mahasubhadra, Chula Subhadra, and Sumana Devi. Here, Mahasubhadra listened to the Dhamma from the Buddha and became a Sotapanna. She took the responsibility in Anatta Pindika's place to offer dana at their house. Later, she married and left the house. Chula Subhadra took up these duties after her. She listened to the Dhamma from the Buddha and became a Sotapanna. And later, she married and moved to live with her husband. All the duties then fell to the youngest daughter, Sumana Devi. Sumana Devi was intelligent, and she could fulfill Anatta Pindika's duties of doing dana and making offerings in his place very well. Anatta Pindika had to go to the merit-making activities and ceremonies of the people in the city. If they hosted a merit-making activity, they had to invite Anatta Pindika to be the head of it. Whoever didn't have Anatta Pindika there would meet with criticism, as they may do a lot of merit-making, but without Anatta Pindika coming as the head, this activity felt like it wasn't proper. So Anatta Pindika had no time to look after the Sangha. So the responsibility fell to Sumana Devi, who would offer the dana in Anatta Pindika's house. And here we look to the nature of the body, as Sumana Devi became very sick. She felt that she wouldn't be able to get better from this sickness. So she had someone to go tell Anatta Pindika. Anatta Pindika came to visit his daughter. And here, upon coming back to visit, let us watch what happens. A conversation between the father, who had wisdom to be a Sotapanna and who had a lot of barami, spiritual merit, talk with his youngest daughter, who had great faith in the Buddha Sasana as well. Let's watch what happens and see what does this teach us. So now that you have watched, what did you think? You saw already the wealthy merchant Anatta Pindika coming back to visit his daughter and asking his daughter, "How is it, young Sumana?" And the daughter answered, "What is it, little brother?" Anatta Pindika asked, "Are you delirious, daughter?" Because he was about to become very sad, thinking, "Why has my daughter become delirious and is now calling me her little brother?" The daughter answered, "I am not delirious, little brother." "Are you scared to die? Are you scared? Because this sickness is taking you close to death. Are you scared?" He asked this with great concern, but she answered, "I'm not scared, little brother." Just saying this much, and then Sumana Devi passed away. Anatta Pindika cried and was very sad. Why? Because this was the daughter that was his youngest, and she had been looking after all the duties of giving the dana to the monks in his place so well, and she had faith as well. But then, why did she have no mindfulness and alertness at all? This was a very big concern, a great worry. He knew that we all have to die, but to die without mindfulness, then where would she go be born? Would she be reborn in the lower realms of suffering? So he had a lot of anguish. He was the Maha Upasaka, he had noble virtues, and his children were all Sotapannas. But why did his youngest child have to be like this? He was incredibly sad. So Anatta Pindika went to see the Buddha. The Buddha asked what had happened. Anatta Pindika told all the details of the incident to the Buddha. The Buddha answered, "It's like that, is it, Anatta Pindika?" The Buddha said, "But you really were a little brother to her in terms of the heart. Anatta Pindika was just a Sotapanna. Sumana Devi was a Sakadagami, the second level of noble attainment. So she was older in terms of the paths and fruits of Nibbana. So she said that to you." Anatta Pindika understood clearly. "Oh, it's like that, dear Buddha. It's like that." Anatta Pindika then asked, "Now where is she reborn?" The Buddha said, "In the Tusita heavenly realm." Anatta Pindika was happy. "My daughter having rejoiced here in this world, in the midst of her relatives, now again, after passing away, has been reborn in a place of joy. Yes, the Buddha said, those who are diligent, whether they are householders or ordained, they surely rejoice in this world as well as the next. One who has done meritorious deeds rejoices in both worlds. Having done merit well, they go to a happy destination, to a higher pleasure. Anatta Pindika was overjoyed in hearing this. So can you see that though we may be a mother or father, but there are some times that we are held to have the status of the father or mother, but our child has more spiritual virtue. They have a higher mind and more wisdom than the father or mother. There may be cases where someone is born possessing more merit and spiritual development than their mother or father. But the father or mother may have ego and pride and may not be willing to listen to their child who has wisdom, the spiritual qualities of generosity, sila or morality, and wisdom. So the father and mother should listen that sometimes our child may have good mindfulness and wisdom, and in that case, one must listen and reflect on it and then follow their child. Because our child is one who has more merit and spiritual development than us. But for some people, the child may have more spiritual development, but they won't be able to teach the parents because they hold on to that, I am the father, I am the mother, you are my child. They are attached like this continuously. This is not right. We need to look at the noble attainment in the heart as well, like Anatta Pindika, who was grieving because he didn't look at the noble attainment in the heart, because he didn't know his daughter was of a higher attainment, that she was a Sakadagami. The Buddha said that you are a little brother to her in terms of the Dhamma, because your child was a Sakadagami. So all of you should be proud that you can be a child and relative of the Buddha. Even if you are a lay man or lay woman, if you practice the Dhamma, you can get to the Dhamma, and then you can truly be a child of the Tathagata. In the beginning, we have dana and sila, but our strength of mind still isn't much. We are like a small child, still crawling, tottering about. But later, we can stand, we can walk, and become strong. We can study and work, and can look after oneself well. This is like when we practice Dhamma. We have dana, sila, samadhi, mindfulness, and meditation. And ultimately, we will be able to understand the Dhamma of the Buddha, that whatever is of the nature to arise has the nature to cease. You can gain this Dhamma teaching, all of you. May you be proud, even if you are a female or male, of a young age or old. The Dhamma gives results that aren't limited to situation, the time, or one's age. Even in this day and age, if we can walk the path of sila, samadhi, and panya, or morality, concentration, and wisdom, then you all will be able to see the Dhamma. May you all be determined, and may you all succeed in your Dhamma practice. May you all have prosperity in the world and in the Dhamma. May you all grow in blessings.